This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. For the next several weeks, my wife and I will be in Belize on a mission trip, so I'm going to be replaying some programs that were heard on the new birth some time back.
Now, let's read again then from John chapter 3 and verse 18. We read these words, "He who believes in him, that is in Christ, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, verse 36 is not the words of the Lord Jesus, but it's the words of John the Baptist, and it says the same thing and summarizes all that we have been reading in this passage as the Lord has taught Nicodemus about his need to be born again. Verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. As we think of this new birth and this everlasting life, I suppose the best question we could all ask ourselves this morning is, are we sure that we have it? Now, one of the questions I often ask people when they are asking me about these things is, do you know you are going to heaven? Do you know you have eternal life? I remember not too long ago dealing with a young lady who has come halfway around the world to be in this area. She was actually living with us from another culture, but she had a denominational background, a Christian background, in the sense that she had been taught the Bible and in the sense that she considered herself a Christian. But I remember as we talked to her one day, I asked her if she understood what regeneration was. Now, regeneration is new life. And she had a language problem, so it took me some time to get her to understand this matter of regeneration. I told her that regeneration is what we do to a battery that has gone dead in the winter. We go out with a charger, we hook it up, we put the current to that battery, and we give it new life. That's regeneration. Now, I said, when the Bible says we must be born again, it's saying that we need a new life, that everything connected with what we were by nature is corrupt. It leaves us dead in trespasses and in sins, Romans 6 says. But now, or that's Ephesians 2. But if we're saved, we are dead to sins. That's Romans 6. And so I said, when we are dead in sins, we need a new life in Christ. We need to be regenerated. And so I turned to her and I said, when were you born again? When were you regenerated? When did the Holy Spirit begin to develop new desires, a new attitude, a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? When did it begin to do that for you? And she says, well, I don't know. And I said to her, are you going to heaven? And she says, well, I would never say I knew I was going to heaven. So I took her to John 3 and 18, and I read her this verse, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." And then I went to John 3 and 36 and read her, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." And I asked her, I said, what is everlasting life? She said, well, that's life which, if you have it, means you're going to heaven. I like that. That's a simple explanation of what we really understand at first when we get eternal life or everlasting life. Now, I said, what does the word has mean? H-A-S. Because it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And she looked at me and she says, well, that means you own it. Now, I probably wouldn't have put it just that way, but I like what she said, you own it. And then she looked at me and she said, nobody has ever shown me this before. I can say I'm going to heaven. And for the first time, she got the peace that comes with taking God at his word, that he who believes in the Son, that is, he who believes that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and was rose again the third day. He who believes in that person has What God has said is eternal life. He has it. That is, that person has been born again. That person has received Christ and has believed on his name. Now, the way then, it seems to me, that we can answer the question, do I have eternal life, is to simplify it and say, am I sure that my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven? Now, very simply, if you're depending on something you're doing to satisfy God, you'll never be absolutely sure your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven. Because everything we do is imperfect. We always leave things undone. We could always have done them better, or we could have done them differently. So when we look at ourselves, we'll get no satisfaction in this area. But when we look at Christ, then we'll be able to say, well, yes, I can be sure I'm going to heaven, not because we're depending on something we have done, but because we're depending on him. And that's what it means when it says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already. It's interesting that I believe that this girl who came halfway around the world started for heaven that day. That was the first time she could honestly say she had eternal life. And that's the first time she could honestly say she was trusting in the Son. If she couldn't say she had eternal life, I don't think she could honestly say she was trusting in the Son. Now let me explain what I mean. This matter of trusting gives people difficulties. It gives people problems. But let's just say I were to ask you if you have money in the bank. Now, some of you may have money and some of you may not, but if you've got money in the bank and I were to ask you whether you had money in the bank, most of you would say yes. You wouldn't say, I hope so. Why would you say yes? Well, you would say yes because you're trusting the bank. You would remember when you went to the bank and gave them the cash or the checks. You would remember when you had gotten bank statements that said that money was in the bank. And while you wouldn't be going to the bank every day to count the money, to feel the money, to know that it was there, if I were to say, do you have money in the bank, you would likely say yes because you have confidence in the bank. You have believed in the bank. If you hadn't believed in the bank, you wouldn't have put the money there. However, if all of a sudden you were in a very hometown situation with your bank and your local radio station announced that the doors of your bank were shut, the shades were drawn, and the auditors were there, and that the bank president was now in the Bahamas with about $10 million and the office secretary, and I were to ask you whether you had money in that bank, you might say, oh, I hope so. And the reason your attitude would change is because your confidence in the bank has changed. Now, some people think that our confidence in Christ can change. I don't believe that ever happens. I believe when we find out Christ is dependable, we'll never find anything in life or in the scriptures that makes him undependable. And so it won't be like the situation with the bank where we might find out that what was a trustworthy bank becomes untrustworthy. But I hope you understand my illustration. When you have confidence in the bank, it's not boastful to say, I have money there. When you don't have confidence in the bank, you obviously are going to represent it by saying, I hope I have money there. Well, let's translate that now to eternal life. If we have confidence in Christ, it's not boasting to say that I have eternal life. Because you're not saying you're good, you're saying that Christ died for you and you're depending on it. It's not boastful to say that. But if for some reason you're saying, I hope I have eternal life, then you're really questioning whether the work of Christ can be depended upon, and I wonder if you've really believed in him. You'll notice that this passage has a division in it. You'll notice that God is the one who divides light from darkness in Genesis chapter 1, and here he divides believers from unbelievers. I remember sitting at my table with a young man one day, and he wanted to know if there was an intermediate place where some people went after they died, those who weren't quite good enough to go to heaven, but they weren't bad enough to go to hell. And I gave him John 3 and 18 and asked him where he could find a place like that in John chapter 3 and verse 18. And he looked at the passage and looked at it, and he began to realize that when you die, you're either ready or you're not. You're either a believer or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You either have eternal life or you don't. You're either condemned already or you're not condemned. And when he began to realize that, he realized that there was no intervening place as far as the scripture was concerned. And I told him, I said, you know, I've looked for that intermediate place for years in my Bible and I've never found it. If anybody can ever find it and show it to me, I would be happy to have them point it out. And friend, I would make that challenge to you today. If you can find in your Bible that intervening place, that place where some people go who aren't quite saved but aren't quite lost, I would like to have you show it to me, because my Bible says that if you believe in Him, you're not condemned. That is, you're saved. And if you don't believe in Him, you're condemned already because you've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So I hope you understand that in John 3:16 we have God's work. It's what He has done to save us. He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us and gave His only begotten Son. We have to respond to that if we're going to be saved, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17 is His purpose. We can see that He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And in John 3:18, we have the results. We are either going to enter into God's plan as believers, and we're not going to be condemned, or we're going to enter into God's plan as unbelievers, and we're condemned already because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, friend, I hope you're a believer. The address of the program is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Our Heavenly Father, bless our program today. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.